Hello everybody. This is the translation of the message for Sunday the 14th of September. The reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 to 12. Finally, may all of you live in harmony. Be sympathetic, love one another as brothers, be compassionate, be humble-minded. Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. On the contrary, bless each other. For this is part of your calling, so that you may inherit blessing. Just as it is written, whoever would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from speaking evil, and let not his lips utter deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the Lord's face is set against those who do evil. Introduction. Last Sunday, we were talking about the start of the school year, especially for pupils and students, and now hopefully everyone has truly begun the new work year. A new year with a new curriculum and with a goal to achieve, and everyone is expected to do what they can to achieve that goal. In the passage we just read, the Apostle Peter presents us with quite a programme, a rather attractive and extremely rich programme, a programme that is not limited in time to one school year, for example, and that concerns us all. There is no question of level here. And we can note in these verses a beautiful programme, pitfalls to avoid. A search that deserves all our efforts. Firstly, a beautiful programme. In this text from the Apostle Peter, the words of verses 10 to 12 echo exactly those of a Psalm of David, Psalm 34, which effectively offers us a programme, or rather a life plan, that cannot leave anyone indifferent and which begins with these words. Whoever wishes to love life and see good days. First of all, this programme is not imposed on us. These words give us freedom and present us with the possibility of a choice. It's about wishing or wanting, depending on the translation. Wanting to love life. This is a goal that is far from trivial. Happiness. The enjoyment of life, in all its goodness, is perhaps not always the message we Christians convey. In any case, this is a biblical perspective that deserves to be revisited. Life is made to be enjoyed. This is not to fall into what we might call the culture of enjoyment and to encourage us to be selfish. But because this life is given to us by God and we have the mandate to fulfil it well and therefore to love it. So of course life does not offer, and by far, the same opportunities to rejoice to everyone. Things are far from fair when it comes to each person's particular circumstances, even if it's just in terms of health. Some people may even sometimes come to feel that life itself doesn't like them very much. It's true that there are sometimes many reasons to find that life doesn't have much to like about it. But then, isn't our mission as Christians, light of the world and salt of the earth, precisely to manifest, despite everything, in a very special way, our taste for life? And Peter calls us here to cultivate this grateful outlook on our life and on our life as it is. Cultivate this attitude of trust, knowing that God always acts for our greatest good, that he always is ready to manifest his generosity, and that his plan for us remains that of a life rich in true values, an abundant life filled with his gifts and inhabited by his presence. To love life is to realise the immense potential that God has granted to each of us. the field of freedom and possibilities that he has opened before us. To love life is to love what God has given us, to make it bear fruit in the best way. To love life is to receive our life as a gift, to honour the giver. And for that there are traps to avoid and a good to seek, absolutely. Secondly, traps to avoid. These words of David in Psalm 34, which Peter quotes here, are part of a broad context of exhortations. Throughout this passage, starting in chapter 2, verse 11, Peter encourages, advises, and provides valuable insights for leading a happy life, with a strong emphasis on the notions of peace and respect for others. Peter encourages Christians to have good conduct, and this at all levels of relationships in society, among the pagans, in the family and in the church. He denounces the reflexes of violence and revenge. He speaks of this gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great price in the sight of God. And this word comes at the right time to show us that to love life, to respect this life that God has given us and not waste it, and to see good days, it is also our responsibility. God associates us with his work. He includes our participation in his response to our needs. We are easily inclined to ask the Lord, "Lord, grant that." And this is legitimate, but we must not forget that what we ask, God will not do without us, without our full consent and commitment. And in these exhortations of Peter, we discover a trap to avoid, which is located first and foremost at the level of the tongue. It is astonishing to note the number of times the Bible mentions the use of the tongue, the use of speech. Speech is an extraordinary gift that God has granted to man, a being of communication par excellence, but is also, unfortunately, the site of many traps into which we very easily fall. It is therefore a question of vigilance. It is a question of guarding one's tongue and one's lips. Peter emphasizes to what extent the use of speech contributes, one would say primarily here, to the quality of our life. Departing from evil and doing good therefore begins with mastering one's tongue. I think it is not necessary to do a long examination of ourselves to know what we each have to do for this exercise. But to truly taste life, there is the second aspect, a positive one. Thirdly, a search that is worth all our efforts. It is very interesting to note that in the New Testament, in almost every text where it is a question of actively seeking something, peace is mentioned. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And here in Peter's text, it is again this benefit above all that is emphasized. Let him persistently pursue peace. Next Sunday's theme for the March of Brotherhood is living together in peace. This is a message worth hearing. Who could deny that the need for peace, peace with others, of course, in all our relationships, but above all, peace with God, inner peace, peace of conscience, is an absolutely vital need. This is a need to which it is worth devoting the best of one's efforts. We have every reason to make peace our most coveted good. Because peace, above all, is what God himself offers us. It is therefore a matter of seizing it, of welcoming it into our lives, into our hearts as a gift, as a particularly welcome gift from the Lord. Jesus clearly stated this to his disciples before leaving them. He said, "I give you my peace." Paul promises us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Peace is, of course, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which God gives each of his children. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Peace is the essential framework and backdrop for living life well. And peace is not simply defined by the absence of conflict. And it is not just a matter of receiving it, but of working for it. It is a voluntary attitude that acts positively. It is the ground on which we build. Being peaceful absolutely does not mean being passive. Peace is not the soft consensus, as they say. There is no softness or sentimentality in peace. On the contrary, it requires determination and even energies at times. Nor is it about skirting problems and acting as if living in peace is not at all about living in denial or hypocrisy. It is about honestly facing problems and solving them. The search for peace, the attachment to the peace that God grants us, are determining elements in the quality of our lives. Seeking peace is truly loving life. And peace is perhaps as fragile as it is precious. And it's not a question of age. In learning peace, I believe we are all at school. Peace is fragile because it depends on us. This is why Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Peace is also an indispensable condition for our service. We cannot claim to serve the Lord in his church if we do not fulfill this condition. Jesus made it very clear when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." And the Apostle Peter encourages us to make this persevering search for peace one of our ongoing goals. I believe there is no need to spend much time thinking about the method or to invent new means. Several texts have been cited, and there are many others. Already here in verse 8 and 9, things are very clear. Let's all strive for the same goal. Share your sorrows. Love one another as brothers and sisters. Be kind, be humble. Do not return evil for evil, nor insult for insult. And we could add, by accepting that we are not always right and that we do not always have the last word. By abandoning the reflexes of comparison with the jealousy and rivalries that result from them. If I may allow myself a brief personal aside, I can say that it is always a great encouragement for me to see that among the leaders who serve the church, the council, the pastoral team, those responsible for children and youth, there is a true climate of peace. Despite all our differences, with great differences in personality, sensitivity, and also in perception and understanding on certain subjects, we serve together in true freedom and true complementarity. It's a pure gift. God can do it. This isn't necessarily the case always and everywhere in all churches, so thank you, Lord. There I close the parenthesis. One last word. Do we want to love life and see good days, as the Apostle Peter wrote? Jesus has the answer in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In conclusion, may God grant us the grace to receive without reluctance the peace he offers us, so that we can each become in our own way artisans of peace. May the peace of God be with us and in us. Amen.